And with that, we're going to move to item 16. I know we have Pat with us today. So Pat, we'll have you come up for the fencing options to protect new tree plantings. Welcome.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the Commission, Secretary Robley. My name is Pat Tate. I'm the Regional Program Habitat Manager out of Aberdeen. We cover seven counties. We cover Brown, Day, Marshall, Spink, Falk, Edmonds, and McPherson. So quite a lot of work to do. So I'm going to talk about Kevin's favorite topic, protecting trees. So the biggest deal with tree plantings is it's a lot of money going forward into it, and you want every dollar to be well spent. And so you want to do everything in your, you know, capability realistically to protect those. This is not a new thing. This has been years and years in the making. There are three main types of deer fence. There's the stagged deer fence that's on the top right corner. It's the cheapest and the easiest to install, but it's the least effective because if you're a deer, you can easily hop that. Then there's the traditional deer fence, which is what we've used in the past pretty universally. And then we have our telephone deer fence, which is the cheapest and what we've kind of switched to. So through this process, we planted a lot of trees, and we were trying to figure out how to order supplies efficiently and to make sure we had everything. So I created this deer calculator, or fence calculator. It calculates material cost, labor cost, and then rolls of wire, how many posts you need, and just kicks that information out. So just to go briefly into perimeter fence, this is equally important to protecting deer and antelope and all wildlife in that matter. Our bottom strand is smooth so that animals and especially dogs can go under up without getting tore up. And then we have our two barbs, and the top bar or the top wire is barb or optional hot. The biggest thing to note here is the separation between the fourth wire and the third wire. So if a deer does jump over that, there's enough gap in between those two wires that the deer's legs won't get caught in it. Which does seem to happen a lot, especially next to roadways. So the staggered deer fence, I touched on this slightly. A lot of people use this around food plots because it's easy to install, it's quick, but it is not very effective. The biggest thing is it's going to stop slow-moving deer, and mainly young ones, but an adult deer can easily hop over this. So we really don't use this ever. So our traditional deer fence was labor intensive, cost, and it was high in cost and labor intensive even in maintaining it. So I, you know, I understand the colors are hard to see, so I'll just go through them. The bottom strand is hot, and we ran into issues with that, with grass grounding it out. We tried going around with weed whips, but caused a lot of issues, and then it would just ground it out. So it would kill the whole fence. And then we had barbed and hot. And that's a lot. That's a lot of money into that deer fence. So the picture in the corner, that is a deer fence. It's about 5 years old. It's actually ear tagged to be pulled this year. It's up at the Hecla GPA. And the cost 5 years ago was $10,000 for an 8-row tree planting. So we came up with a better solution that was easier for us to maintain, easier for us to manage, and cheaper overall. What we did was we purchased telephone poles from anyone we really could and cut them into thirds. They're in 10-foot sections, and we pounded them into the corner. With the mass of a telephone pole, you don't need an H-brace, and you don't need to back brace them. And then I realized that hot wire is about a third of the cost of barbed, and it's easier to string out and roll back up. So those are five strands of hot with 16-inch spacing, so the deer, even if you get a big old buck, it can still jump that fence. It's not going to get its legs tangled up and cause a mortality. So I talked about the cost of deer fence. This is Kessler GPA. It's in northern Dade County. It was purchased with Pheasants Forever dollars and some PR dollars. And, you know, it was really just farmed. And so we wanted to install winter cover and winter habitat for deer. And so we planted three different plantings, and, I mean, the total cost was $47,000, which is a lot. And we want the deer to use this. That's something I probably should have touched on earlier. We want the deer to use it. We just want them to use it once the trees are fully formed, and they can take that browse, and they can provide the full winter cover. So the cost, what I was quoted by a contractor, and this was just for the material cost, was $16,000 for these three fences. And we were able to build them for just over six. This is a great example of Team GFP working together. We had multiple groups come and help. I sent out an email, and everyone came running to help deer fence, which is rare. But we had everyone come out, and we ended up building nine fences in 14 working days. So that's just that spreadsheet of how many miles we built, how many days we built, how many fences we built, labor cost, and the labor cost is just the salary cost of the employees out there. You can go to the next slide. So we did protect 53 acres of trees. So this is 2 years post-planting, and it's really rare to see trees grow this quickly and this successfully. And it's just because we've kept the animals from using this enough that they can grow and flourish. So these tree fences will be pulled average about 5 years. And the good thing with telephone poles is they're already creosoaked. You can reuse them. We can reuse the strainers and the springs, the insulators, the chargers. We can reuse most of it, which is going to help us farther in the future. The last thing I wanted to touch on was our protective cages. We use these in smaller tree plantings. This was actually planted about 2 weeks ago. They're oaks, and we're trying to create an oak savanna. And so when we cage trees, it's really for a small population of trees that aren't going to be too hard. And then we add the tree tubes, which create a greenhouse effect, which really shoot those trees up and allow them to grow quicker so we can pull the fence so wildlife can start to use them. I'll field any questions.
Questions from the commission. Secretary Roebling.
I appreciate the presentation, Pat. Great job. I just want to, can you kind of explain a little bit, if we don't protect those trees, what happens to those trees in this country?
Yeah.
The deer densities we have.
Yeah, I should have touched on that. It's on my note card. you know, we do have a healthy deer population, and most of the trees we plant are for wildlife to use, and we've added carrigana, cran apple bush, lilacs, which are really, deer really love them. And so before they even get a chance to grow, deer will rip them out of the ground. And then we're going back and we're replanting them and we're starting all over. So providing a fence that at least deters them for a little bit will help that belt fill in. They'll get to about 5-6 feet, and then they can take that browsing from those resident wildlife.
Additional questions? So, Pat, I know we're seeing this up here. Do we foresee this type of fencing moving in different parts of South Dakota?
Yes, I do fully see it happening. I've talked with Region 2 on it, and they are very interested in using it for, we can just do more with less, I think is the best way to put it.
Yeah, very good. Very good. Great presentation. Thanks for sticking around.
Thank you.
All right. And with that, that takes us to 4:58. We are going to call it a day for today. Thanks to everybody for your great presentations. Tomorrow, when we return, I believe I'm going to look at our secretary. We might be taking up the budget discussion right away in the morning.
Yes.
So budget discussion will be right away in the morning, 8 a.m. Central Time. We will see everybody then. Have a good night.